Today's scripture reading is from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 13, which is page 975 in the Pew Bibles. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. All right, so thank you, Alice, for reading. If you haven't opened your Bibles yet, go ahead and open to Hebrews chapter 12, and we will be going through specifically verses 3 to 13. So, going through hardships in life, that is normal, especially when you want to grow in an area of life or improve in an area of life. For me, that has been a part of my experience here at Ford. Fiona and I came here in 2022. It'll be 3 years this Easter, and it's been a wild ride for us, a great ride. When it comes to hard growth or improving in life, one big thing has stood out for me specifically. So, for those of you who don't know, when Steve and Aaron offered the position of pastoral intern, I was very excited, but also scared because I was quitting a job that I really liked to work somewhere for only 16 months with no guarantee for anything in the future. And the pastors, and most of all, God, more than anyone, knew that I didn't want to anything. I didn't want anything to do with youth ministry at all. And the crowd gasps, wondering, why am I up here as the youth pastor? And that's the God honest truth. What did I want from the 16 months here? I wanted a lot of different things, but God said no to all of them. He said, "I know what you need. I'm going to change your heart, your life, and for a bit, it's really going to hurt. My child, I will discipline you." And family, church family, that discipline really hurt. You could ask Pastor Aaron, Pastor Steve. It was not easy for me. Last year around this time, I was miserable. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. I was afraid of what would happen at the end of the 16 months, and through my doubt, sin, and constant complaining, God used the mentorship, specifically the discipline of mentorship through Stephen Aaron and many others here and through youth ministry to change my life in ways I wouldn't have imagined. I'm so grateful for what God has done. And when I look back at this journey, it did hurt a lot, and most of it was all me choosing to complain and to not surrender to God, to allow him to do that great work in me. Unfortunately, for some of us in this room today, if it hurts, you want nothing to do with it. We take discipline lightly. We avoid it for the fast life, fast growth, fast results, fast money, fast pleasure. Everything has to be fast. And God is going to tell you this morning, no, that is not the right mindset. In fact, if it doesn't hurt, it's probably not worth it. This is not the New Year, New Me sermon you thought you needed this morning. But we're going to dive into this controversial but super important topic this morning. And I think it's a sad thing that when we read this passage, for some of us sometimes, we read this as a punishment text to say, oh, God punishes Christians. And that's the opposite, actually. So this morning, our main idea is this. Remember and be encouraged that God loves you. Therefore, he will discipline you for your growth and for his purpose. I'll say that again. Remember and be encouraged that God loves you. Therefore, he will discipline you for your growth and for his purpose. So the goal is not just to remember this, but to be encouraged by this truth. But how do we get here? It's not easy. And we're going to figure that out together this morning. So I have 4 points for you if you have the sermon notes, or if not, I have 4 points for you this morning. And our first point is this. Jesus is your greatest example of perseverance. Jesus is your greatest example of perseverance. And starting in verse 3 this morning, it says this. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not lose, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So when we talk about discipline, about suffering, about growth, about obedience, and all those hard things being good things, my friends, we always need to start with Jesus. And this is what the author of Hebrews does for us this morning. And this is why our first point is just this one verse. And before we dive into verse 3, let's look back at verse 1 and verse 2. Last Sunday, Pastor Aaron walked us through what we call the Hall of Faith, a testimony of men and women who, by faith, persevered, especially through suffering and persecution. And basically what the author of Hebrews is telling us in verse 1 and 2 is that these great and amazing examples of faith give us the confidence to lay aside our sin and to look to Jesus. Who is Jesus? The author of Hebrews says in verse 2, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So yes, for a short moment, look at these men and women of faith, but fix your eyes completely on Jesus, who's the foundation of that faith. Now, in verse 3, the author of Hebrews is telling you, after all I have just said, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. What did Jesus do? He is the greatest example of perseverance. The greatest show of endurance and perseverance is going to the cross to die without complaint, despising shame, and having joy. The greatest example of righteousness and peace, which the author of Hebrews will allude to later on in verse 11. And because of this, we need to continue to look to him, but also consider how he suffered, how he endured suffering, specifically opposition from sinners. And this is essential going forward. It isn't just about the past now. It's about what will happen next. And the author of Hebrews looks at the Christians of that day and says, Jesus is a picture for your present time. But just as important as that is, we look to Christ, our great endurer, so that we do not grow weary or lose heart. Our Lord and Savior, he did not grow weary, he did not lose heart. Even when he was greatly tempted, we don't just look at the example of Christ as a theological point or as a great story. This is for you today, church. This is for you today. The author of Hebrews says, so that you will not, what? Grow weary and lose heart. This impacts you right now, church. The person of Christ and the ministry of Christ go hand in hand, never to be separated. They are both meant to be studied, and they both empower us to live godly lives right now. Looking to the gospel daily ultimately helps us from falling away from the faith and helps us fight our sin. That's why it's so important. This is what the author of Hebrews needs us to know before he dives into this topic of discipline. Church, look to Jesus in all that you do. And not just in all that you do, but especially in what is happening to you. So not just what you do, I'm going to say that again. Not just what you do, but what is happening to you. Look to Jesus. You may not know why, but God's word is here to help you to figure it out. And the greatest way to figure it out is to consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. And to also know that in all your knowledge and living out of the gospel, the author of Hebrews wants you to know this. Do not grow weary, church. Do not lose heart. Suffering is coming. And for some of you in this room today, it's already here for you. So where do you start in your suffering? Start with Jesus. Always start with Jesus. Our second point. God disciplines you because you are his child. God disciplines you because you are his child. That's our second point this morning. And I'm going to read from verse 4 to verse 6. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Jesus, our great endurer, but also our great example. It should be drilled in our hearts and in our minds that Jesus never gave up. That's such an important point for us. In the face of persecution, but the suffering, the beating, bloodied and broken, he never gave up. But this is also a picture of Christ fighting temptation. Praise God that we have a Lord and Savior that never sinned, though tempted in his human flesh. The author of Hebrews is telling his audience in verse 4, he is aware of their struggle against sin. And he is being pastoral here. He isn't addressing disobedience, but he says struggle. Struggle. Struggling with sin, or in other words, fighting temptation, is a part of the Christian walk and not meant to discourage us. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Fighting temptation, struggling against sin, that is a part of the Christian walk and it's not meant to discourage us. He is saying, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. What does that even look like? What does that look like? That looks like Christ, church. That looks like Jesus. But the author of Hebrews is saying this, you have not resisted sin to the point of being bloodied. This isn't a discouragement. That's just a statement of fact at this point. This is not a condescending reminder, but an empowering reminder to let us know what could be and what will be. And he continues on in verse 5 and verse 6. He wants to know if they have forgotten. An encouragement, not a rebuke, but an encouragement. A word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his children, or the NIV says son specifically. And the author of Hebrews in verse 5 says, have you completely forgotten? Because this is an important passage that is being quoted here from the Old Testament. This isn't some obscure passage, but essential to the life of a Jew and now a Christian. He quotes the wisdom of King Solomon, specifically in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. I'm going to read what the author of Hebrews, how he quotes it here. He says this in verse 5. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. My friends, this is controversial in our day. It just is. And unfortunately for some of us in this room this morning who say we're a Christian, this fact, not assumption, but fact, that God disciplines his children and he chastens them, or in other words, humbles them, or brings low, or even humiliates them, everyone he accepts as his child. That's heavy. All of his children, not just one, not just us here at Forward Baptist Church, but all his children that he accepts. Those who have put their faith in him because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will discipline them, and they will suffer. In light of this fact, and the Proverbs address this first, the author of Hebrews mentions this before in verse 3 because it's of absolute great importance, church, that you hear this. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. This is of extreme importance with how we approach discipline from God. Again, Solomon says, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Why? Because he loves you, church. Because God loves you. In my mind, that's all I need to read. Does that translate in our minds right away, though? No, it doesn't. How does God do this? How does he rebuke us? How does he discipline us? Through his word, in our conscience, and through the church. And when it comes to suffering for our growth, friends, let me tell you this morning. You need to hear this. There are some of you in this room, or maybe all of you in this room, that have trials and some sort of health issues in your life. And you have no idea why, but we all know it's of great concern. And it stings. It stings that we go through these things. For some of you, I have no idea the pain and the struggles that you go through. But I pray that this will be permanent in your minds this morning. This isn't brought on you because you're bad, or you did something wrong, or that God is punishing you this morning. But God is disciplining you for your good, to make you strong, to help you to rely on him, to help you to fix your eyes on Jesus, to set you apart as holy. But listen, it's hard. That is hard. I could just say that, and like I say, it doesn't translate right away for us. This is a hard truth to accept for us. For some of us, healthy lifestyle, heart attack. Being a good and faithful person at work or at school, no friends. Being bullied, being picked on. Doing the best that I can to have healthy children, miscarriage. Trying to fight this addiction, getting caught up in the wrong crowd again. Can't fight the urge, no matter what I do. And for some of us, you say this, why, Lord? Why me? What is the point? I thought you loved me. And the Lord of heaven and earth says this to you this morning, church. Do not make light of your situation. Do not lose heart. Do not grow weary. Do not be discouraged. The Lord disciplines those whom he loves and chisels everyone that he accepts. This is happening in your life because he loves you. That is totally insane. When I wrote that down today, I was like, that's hard. But my friends, it is true. And I don't know what you're going through this morning, but you know who does? God knows what you're going through. And this is why this wisdom from Solomon is to be remembered. These Christians in this day, 2,000 years ago, they definitely wondered, why am I weak? Why am I losing heart? Why do I feel like I want to walk away from all of this? Why am I struggling so hard with my sin? Why are Christians around me being killed and persecuted? And the author of Hebrews drops this amazing piece of wisdom and truth on us and for them. Now, my friends, you need to hear this. This is anti-modernistic. The fact that God disciplines and allows you to suffer so that you will grow. Instead of just giving us all that we desire so that you will grow, this is the anti-prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel that has put a stain mark on Christianity in the West, on continents like Africa. Absolutely demonic doctrine. The gospel of Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and T.D. Jakes and on, this false gospel says that if you suffer, you have no faith, that you are weak. If you had true faith, you would have so many possessions and cars and money and clothes and no suffering. Disgusting, evil teaching that has led so many off a cliff, either into a wrong form of Christianity or away from Jesus completely. Hurting and destroying families who go through lifelong pain and ailments, thinking they don't have enough faith, that God is punishing me because of my lack of faith. And because of this, discipline is seen as demonic, as anti-God, as anti-blessing, anti-love. My friends, the prosperity gospel is, and I don't mean to offend, but this is unbiblical stuff that is so popular in our day. You need to know it. And you need to know who teaches it. And I believe many of us in this room today have been affected by this false gospel in some way or form. And it's affected our idea of discipline from God. Suffering that comes from God. But you need to know this. The Lord disciplines, He will bring suffering, and it is because He loves you. Yes. That is controversial, but it is biblical. It is the gospel. It is a promise. It is the cost of Christian discipleship. It is true heavenly love with an eternal purpose for your benefit, church. The love we give each other is mostly understandable in our human eyes, but the love we receive from God is from God. And God is not where we are from. Therefore, His love will not resemble the love we give each other. We need to know that. We should never compare the love we give and the love that God gives to us. This is why it will be hard to understand for some of us, and I understand that. But God has a purpose and a reason for this. And this leads to our third point this morning, and that is suffering is hard, but it is for your good. Suffering is hard, but it is for your good. And I'm going to read from verse 7 to verse 11. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but He disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The author of Hebrews continues the exhortation to endure, church, endure. But he is specific. Endure hardship, or in other words, calamity, disaster, suffering. Endure this as discipline, he says. Why? Because God is your Father. We need to know this. We all struggle with sin, whether big or small, every one of us. Whether you are fighting with all your might, the struggle will exist till you die. And in that struggle, there are many moments where we outright disobey or forget God's place in our life. And God has given us His Holy Spirit to build us up, strengthen us, and also prepare us to set us apart as holy. And if you are a Christian here today, you will be there. You will be there. But in the meantime, our Heavenly Father, He will discipline us. He will discipline us. And in ways that is absolutely hard. The suffering we go through as Christians is meant to discipline us. It is a sign we are God's children and that God is treating us like His children. This shows us that God is sovereign, church. He lets us go through these things for a reason. It is never out of His hand, never out of His sight, never. And my friends, you need to know this right now, and I've already mentioned it. If you are a Christian here this morning, God doesn't punish you. You need to get that out of your mind. If that's a part of your thinking as a Christian, that is false. That is false. As Christians, God does not punish. He already did that punishment on Jesus, on the cross. If you are a follower of Jesus today, a Christian, the punishment died when Jesus died. You need to remember that. And Jesus is alive. Amen. Christian, you need to know this morning. You need to know this. That cancer that you have or may have in your life, that has nothing to do with punishment. That unfaithful spouse, friends who have turned their back, those Christians in the past that were bad witnesses or betrayed you, has nothing to do with punishment. But you need to know, there is a difference between discipline. Punishment is meant to destroy us. And now the author of Hebrews wants to make an earthly example for us. And he asks his audience, which one of your fathers haven't disciplined you? If you have parents, you will be disciplined. In the author of Hebrews' day, to have a father or a parent, discipline is guaranteed. It is a right as a parent to strengthen a child by giving them discipline. Every person has a parent who has disciplined them. Unfortunately, in our day, this doesn't translate in the way that it should, sadly. And it is a shame. I want to recognize that this morning, I cannot preach this passage and not address this fact in our day, that unfortunately, for many of you in your upbringing, discipline wasn't always what it was meant to punish, to encourage and make strong. Sometimes it was meant to punish, insult, destroy, and harden. You have no idea what the author of Hebrews is talking about when he's talking about healthy discipline from your parents. And I am so sorry. But if you are a parent now, you can make that right. And here's the thing. It's hard. I'm not a parent. But I know many of you, and I know many of you who are parents here, you love your children, and the goal is to build up your children, to strengthen your children. But if it was done wrong to you, I want to encourage you to not look down on discipline. We need it. And to allow a child to do whatever they want and experience life how they want, this isn't right either. We all need discipline. Now, whether you believe in spanking or grounding or taking things away or using heavy words, whatever form of discipline you believe in, may it honor the Lord in how you do it. But brothers and sisters, the point here is this. Discipline is meant to build up, to strengthen, and prepare with a purpose. That is the point of discipline. This is why the author of Hebrews is bringing the audience for a brief time away from their heavenly father to their view of their earthly father. How important is this? Verse 8, he says straight up, if you are not disciplined by God, you are not a legitimate child. This is not easy to hear. To hear that if I am a legitimate child of God, a legitimate Christian, because of my faith in Jesus alone for salvation, this means I have to be disciplined by God now? This means I have to suffer for my faith? This means that when I struggle with sin, it'll be with tears and physical pain? Yes, it means that. This is a mark of a true Christian, suffering without wavering, hardship without losing heart, persecution without turning away, growth without weariness. This is the perseverance of the Christian. This is the example of Jesus this morning for you, friends. Does this mean we aren't weak in life? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that in the face of these things, we find strength in God. Therefore, we are strong. We aren't weak and falling prey to lies and to the temptations of our flesh and to want to give up and give in. And again in verse 9, the author of Hebrews gives us an example of a human father. He says, you all have human fathers who disciplined you, and you respected them for that. Brothers and sisters, I want to praise God with you this morning. If you had parents that disciplined you the best they could, it helped shape you and mold you into who you are today. They sat you down and they explained why you're being disciplined. The discipline that built you up, that strengthened you, that encouraged you and made you feel purpose and worthiness of great value and love. I praise God with you this morning. I praise God with you. And if this wasn't your experience again, still show that to your kids then. Your past doesn't need to define your future or your present anymore. For those of you who experienced that great love, show it to your kids. For those of you who had great, amazing mentors in your life that stood by you and loved you through all your mistakes to show that you are worthy, show that to your kids. Show it to others. Discipline that will now become in you a life of strength and holiness. Now, because we have great examples in our life, and even if we didn't, there are godly parents here that we can learn that from, especially from those who aren't parents. And the author of Hebrews says, how much more now should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? Or in other words, the Father of humanity. I think it is much more, though, than humanity. God is the Father of those who believe in Him. In our spiritual lives, God is completely sovereign in this department. Yes, He is in all other areas. But this specifically, we need to know that God is our Father, not just in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. The author of Hebrews continues to remind us in verse 10, fathers on earth, they did their best. But God does it absolutely, with a shadow of a doubt, for our good and for a purpose. And what purpose is that? In order that we may share in his holiness. This is it right here, friends. This is it right here. If you flee from God's discipline, then you flee from his holiness, and you will not share in it. And how do we share in his holiness? This doesn't mean that we will be like God, but we will be separate from the world like God is. God is holy. He is not like this world. He is separate from creation. But you are still created. And the goal of discipline is to make you holy, to remove you from the pleasures and temptation of this world, and to show you that God's purpose and will, it is better. It is better. The author of Hebrews is compassionate and understanding to us. In verse 11, this discipline we go through, it isn't pleasant. It is painful. It may bring us to our knees. It may break us. It may turn us, it may turn our lives upside down. Look at the apostles. Look at Christ. For the sake of God's great and powerful purpose, their lives were mostly in shambles, in total chaos. But here's the promise. In verse 11, he says, later on, not right away, not right now, later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Who should I consider that had abundance, a great and amazing harvest of righteousness and peace, brothers and sisters? Consider Jesus. What does that mean, though? For those of us who go through hardships and pain and suffering, it gives us the ability and creates right, moral, holy living and joy in us. That's what suffering and discipline does for us. It doesn't create behavior modification and temporal pleasures from this world, but a God of discipline, brothers and sisters. That is it, church. That is why we go through it. And it's hard. All of us go through it differently. This is the purpose of discipline. That's why he says, for those who have been trained by it, for those who have been trained by it, it is not a sudden change. But you will see how God works in your life through it. I know for many of you who've suffered so much or you're suffering right now, you can attest to what I'm saying, that I've grown in my faith because I suffered. If you are a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ alone, this is the promise that the Bible gives you. You will suffer. You will suffer. It will happen. We don't need to manufacture it. We don't need to create it. It will be in our lives. It will happen. It will create strength and right living in us. And that specifically, strength and right living, is where the author of Hebrews leaves us in verse 12 and verse 13. And this leads us to our fourth and final point this morning. You need to be strong and walk the right path. You need to be strong and walk the right path. And this is what verse 12 and 13 says to us this morning. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. My friends, discipline is going to come in many ways, many different forms. And most of the time, you will be confused. You will be broken. Why am I going through this, Lord? Why? Why now? This is why the author of Hebrews, in verse 12, he says, therefore, because you are a legitimate child, you will be disciplined, and it will be painful, but it is for your good and for you to be holy. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. The audience of the letter to the Hebrews, this was them. This was them. Like verse 3 mentioned about growing weary and losing heart, this is where they were. This is where they were. They were on the verge of giving up. The discipline was hard. The persecution was hard. The fighting of sin was hard. And because of that, they were severely weakened. This is the purpose of this entire letter that we're going through. But the author of Hebrews is saying, consider who Jesus is. what Jesus did. Now, be strong. Your arms and knees to help you walk firmly. Your arms to raise and worship. Strengthen them. But not just that, but to walk in the right way, on the right path. This is the purpose of discipline, brothers and sisters. Verse 13, the author of Hebrews says, make level path for your feet. Once again, he's pulling wisdom from King Solomon, and this time from Proverbs 4, verse 26. And why make the path level? So that those who are lame, or in other words, limping, who have no use of their arms, hands, feet, knees, their entire body, so that they can be healed and walk straight, level, on the right path. And for some of you this morning, that's how you feel when you go through discipline and suffering. You're like, I can't do life, I can't walk. For some of you, you might physically feel that, but for some of you, mentally, for godly, righteous, joyful, peaceful living, this is why. My friends, this is the point of the Lord's discipline in your life. Do not think lowly of it, but look forward to it. Prepare yourself. Grow in your faith. Read your Bible. Pray. Prepare yourself for suffering so that you will not grow weary, so that you will not walk away from the faith. It is for your good. Some of you may be going through it worse than others here this morning, and some of you lighter. But the purpose is all the same. Christ died for us so that we can experience this. Church, be healed today. Be strong. Experience the love of God today through discipline. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who walked that right path for you so that you can walk that path right now. Amen? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that when we hear hard words like this, I pray that we would fix our eyes on Christ, that we would be reminded of the gospel, that we would be encouraged, mutually encouraged by one another here at Forward Baptist Church, that we would look at each other and all the things we're going through and pray for each other as we go through things that we cannot even explain. As we fight sin and struggle through sin, help us to see that it is for our good to build us up, to make us holy. Help us with that this morning.